welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That's our number. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. .net, not .com. You know, I think we'll talk about this more in the second hour, but one of the things that is stunning to me right now, really stunning, is how loud everything is for the disaster coming. And of course, it ought to be loud. I mean, the border is a disaster. The debt ceiling. The sheer incompetence of the administration. Okay, again, not a political statement, a belief by most Democrats as well. It's not good. It's not good at all out there. And yet, markets hold up fine. It's not like, oh, you are struggling out there if you wanted to sell a treasury bond because, you know, we're in the middle of a default coming. No, not an issue. Interest rates, the bond market, whatever you want to say, isn't flying all over the place. It isn't acting psychotic in any way. It's like totally ho-hum. Doesn't seem to care. Doesn't seem to register at all. And what an odd thought, really. With everything going on, the markets are yawning. And it seems, are we whistling past the graveyard? Of course, all the fear mongers are screaming and yelling. And then, of course, on the other side, there's everybody going, come on. Cooler heads will prevail. This is not an issue. Or is it? It's just amazing. But, yeah, the market was down a little this week. I mean, it's like next to nothing. It doesn't, you know, it's up for the year. Goodness gracious. It's probably up for the month of May even. I mean, it's just not caring. But you would think this was the end of the world. I mean, you would. Media is just screaming to get your attention. Janet Yellen is just like yelling all the time. She's just like beside herself, running out of adjectives, if you will, about how unbelievable this is going to be. If we default, which we're not going to do. And the market tells you that. We're not going to default. This is not the end of the world. Not even close. It's not going to happen. Or is it? You see, we go through this, and well, why don't I step aside? Well, why don't the professionals step aside? You know, I mean, it's just this amazing thing. It's like, oh, well, this is only about me, and all the professionals are like, but they're still participating in the market. Why? I mean, we're talking about traders. We're talking about people that aren't even, you know, like long-term mutual fund companies that aren't about to sell their Apple stock no matter what. Which is how we ought to think about it. But what's going on? Where you have all of this train wreck going on. And it truly is. This administration doesn't know what it's doing about anything. And I've spoken about this multiple times, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. But once again, because of the void of leadership, people can't possibly feel like it's going to get better. Nobody does. The vast majority of people think we're on the wrong track. The whole country is on the wrong track. That's inconceivable when you have half the country is voting for, quotes, progressive change, and half the country hates that. It's just not possible, but it's true. People do, in fact, believe their lying eyes. They do. They actually believe what they see. They are actually out there believing that the country is on the wrong track. Even though politically maybe they feel like, I'm going to vote for JoJo. But he's very unpopular. On the other hand, who leads the Republican Party right now? Currently, the front runner is Donald Trump. Pretty much equally unpopular. So we're divided. But we're divided and led by people we don't believe in. And yet, somehow, we hold it together. And to me, this is a lesson of how big the United States is, how big the economy is, how powerful business is, free markets. I mean, think about this. The free market continues to exist in a sheer void of leadership. These folks have no idea what they're doing, except what they think is politically expedient, not like competent. And that is not an argument to say that Donald Trump's administration was full of competent people, not chaotic, strong leadership, consistent vision. No. And yet, we do okay. And once again, it just comes back to this, it's going to be okay. I mean, like literally, the idea that we are going to sit around and pick the time, the only time, never before occurred, time that markets won't come back, that the U.S. dollar is going to collapse. It's amazing how we continue to, in spite of the facts of history, think this is it. I mean, constantly. It's constantly hear it. Oh, for gosh sakes, you can't even watch Fox News anymore. Because the commercials, good Lord. I mean, they must know that people who lean to the right are paranoid, freaked out, gold bugs. That's who they are. That's the only audience. That or I guess we buy pillows. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me that that's what it is. I'm well informed, and so the world is ending. Well, that's just not true. And the markets scream that every single day. They scream it every day. Oh, sure, the market's not up from its all-time highs. It's down below a little bit. From its all-time high. It's not down from where it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when you were born. It rolls. And we act like every problem is the biggest problem we've ever faced.
And I do think this is massive, big, weird time. It is. I'm not blind. But we have to understand that markets recover. They always have. And the idea that this is the end of it is pretty crazy. All right, we got to take a quick break. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDEAL. Dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDEAL. That is our number. You know, it just is amazing to me. And I have to say, yeah, I feel the same way. I feel the same thing. I feel exactly the same way as everybody else. This is a S show. This is a mess. It's unbelievable how broken our political system is. I mean, I don't know how bad this can get when literally the Democrats won't ever talk to the Republicans. It's just ridiculous. We can't come to any decisions at all. It's completely dysfunctional. The main politicians and administration of our giant economies, giant government, is run by career people that have no idea how to run business, how the economy actually works. None of that. And we roll. We just keep going. I mean, I don't know if we're in a recession, but come on. The economy is massively larger than it was. I don't know, say 5 years ago. 1 year ago. We just continue to roll. And sometimes I just have to take a step back and say, what in the world is going on? How do you take this beast down? If one incompetent administration after the other, can't. I mean, is it possible to take down this great nation? Maybe not. Maybe you get an engine this big. And let me remind you, these aren't just numbers. This is astounding that 25% of the world's GDP is the United States. A fourth of what the entire world's output is the United States. And less than 5% of the world's population is here. I know. It's me. The world is about me. The world is centered around Idaho and Boise and me. And that's the way we feel. But there's billions of people on this planet. And collectively, the United States is the driver of everything. Everything. It's really that big. And so sometimes I have to just take a step back and go, yes, this is chaos. Yes, this is crazy. This is absolutely absurd. And the people in charge are really kind of sort of about the worst people you could possibly find. They're like, many of them are literally dumb. The president of the United States literally has never done anything in his life. Not even come up with major policy changes. I mean, like literally. We're arguing about the businesses that JoJo, he doesn't have a business, but the family's rich. I mean, that's how weird this whole thing is. It's really bizarre. No doubt about it. But we wind up in a circumstance where this is our leaders, but the economy, us, is too big for that incompetence to take it down. That's amazing. Now, can we continue for another 20 years with? No. But this is why I keep coming back to this idea. Not right now. The United States isn't done. The dollar's not collapsing. It ain't over. Well, at what level of debt and all these other things? I don't know. I don't know. But apparently it's not now. You say the market's wrong. Okay. It's a big bet. Because the collective, us, is right more than the individual. Really? The markets really aren't that wrong. All right. You hear the music? Ring us up. Shoot us an email. We'll be back after Fox News for hour number two. Hello, welcome. Thanks for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. That's our number. We'd love to hear from you. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, 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 or sell, sell, sell. It's noise. It's lunacy. It's a complete waste of time, but it's not even that. It's a complete opposite of what we ought to be doing. To pause, to contemplate, to relax. To not have constant inputs. Constantly confusing us. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. The more you trade, the worse you do. Oh, I know it's not you. No, I know you're a great trader. It's perfect, and you're not gambling. It's not, you're not speculating. It's good. It's all good. But it always brings me back to this, to really try to bring the point home. Because I've been an investor. I know it sounds insane because I'm so young. But I've been an investor since I was 12 years old. I really have. I bought stock and was fascinated by the markets and blah, blah, blah. 50 years. 50 years I've actually been an investor. I mean, it's a crazy. Everybody who's of any age, you know, I mean, anything over 50 is like, I know. You know, we can't believe this, can't believe that. Life just rolls. But 50 years, and I'm still learning. But the thing that strikes me is a simple concept that Warren Buffett actually talked a lot about here recently at you know, the big, you know, whatever, the annual meeting that he has, and, you know, thousands show up and all that. But he talked about the fact that just a few decisions, a few, in this 90-year-old's career, I think he said no more than a dozen decisions were everything. And I shared this last week. And some of the decisions he talked about were really like hiring the right people in certain businesses that he had. So investment decision-wise, it's not very many. Not very many at all. And so you think about that. I do. And I think about something like Apple coming out with the iPhone. Apple's iPhone. And 40-fold later. I mean, they'd already invented it. You didn't have to think, oh, at $1 a share or now split adjusted, you know, 25 cents or whatever, it's out of business and they're practically gone. They fired Steve Jobs, then brought him back, and blah, blah, blah. It's barely surviving. And so we wind up in a circumstance of that. No. After they've come up with the product and you hold it in your hand and you look at it, and it goes up 40-fold. And you do nothing except watch it grow. Not every business does that. Not every stock does that. And when you analyze to death, it doesn't matter. There's plenty of mistakes. But the winners are huge. The winners are massive. The winners cover up all the mistakes and more. And in case you don't want to ever own an individual stock and ever make a mistake, the collective, the market, the S&P 500 has gone up 10% a year all the days of your life. Multiples what anything else has. Not even, it's not even close. And it's not even you have to pick a company. You pick the entire United States, the collective, if you will. The whole capitalist system on display. The good, the bad, the ugly. All in one. All in one. It's stunning. And you just have a few really big positive things. I mean, think about what the S&P 500 is, right? It's WorldCom and Enron. You know, the for those of you too young to remember it, that's like they blew up. So all of your capital was lost in those. And then think about the companies that are basically like don't buy an airline ever. It would be a good rule. They've gone bankrupt twice, most of them. No, literally, like United Airlines. Oh, you bought United Airlines. Well, you look at it and you go, oh, they're still flying. Yeah, but if you bought the stock, it went to zero, and then they started again. And if you bought the stock again, it went to zero again. It blew up. Delta, American, it just goes on. And, oh, yeah, what about Eastern? Yeah, right, it's gone. And Trump Airlines, yeah, went to zero. It goes on and on and on. What about the incredible, I mean, you know, because automobiles are everywhere. Yeah, those stocks have gone nowhere. In fact, General Motors wouldn't even exist if Obama hadn't bailed out the union. And the stock has been terrible my whole life. So it goes on. There's only a few, and they come up, and they become Google or Amazon, Apple, and they replace other industries. Creative destruction. The whole market collectively, 10% a year. You know, when you think about this, it's like, I was talking with somebody about real estate not long ago, and we were talking about it was kind of a fascinating thing. It was like, without leverage, real estate doesn't work because the rate of return is so low. I mean, you know, we don't like leverage. We don't like prices floating around. Stock market's just so risky. But people borrow money so that a minuscule return turns into an okay return. Interesting how we define risk, right? How we think about things like that. Interesting. And it is stunning. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, gosh, almighty, I own real estate. It's not like it's a bad idea. I'm not putting it down. I'm just talking about how we perceive risk as day-to-day movements in the price of Apple. But we don't perceive risk as borrowing money so we can buy a piece of property. It's crazy how we see things in that, and it all defines itself as this. If the price changes, that's risk. But the price does change. But we just don't report the price changing every day on real estate. So we have this funny perception of risk. Things work. It's pretty amazing how well they do. As I was talking in the last hour. But creative destruction, and right in our faces, right now. Our leaders, what leaders? Who's leading? Is the Fed leading? No. Is the Congress leading? No. The president leading? Oh my gosh. No. Strongest leaders in the world are evil people. It's weird. In spite of that, we continue to roll. And we can't seem to stop trying to decide when that is going to stop. And that's crazy. We don't even have to find Apple. It finds us. In a mutual fund, in the S&P 500, it finds the market. Most companies don't succeed. Most of the investments you make, including Warren Buffett makes, are mediocre at best. That's his words, not mine. The best investor of all time says, and has, we all know, made lots and lots of mistakes. Yeah, everybody's probably sick of all the baseball analogies, but for crying out loud, if you're successful 1 in 3 trips to the plate, you're in the Hall of Fame. That's investing. That's creative destruction. That's the markets. And here's the weirdness about it. To me, it's just so weird to think about. It's like it's almost illegal. It works, and you don't do anything, and you get a better return than anything else, and you are required to do nothing. That's weird. Except sit on your hands and do nothing. For many people, that's a pretty big ask. Please, don't trade. Don't do anything. Please, just stay right there. That's amazing. And it's a hard thing to do for many people. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO, dave@petsofinancial.net. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome. And once again, thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. And also, of course, if you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. All right, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Dave. Let me date myself by saying when I was a kid in high school and I'm driving down the street and there's a billboard and it says, simply says, the time for strong leadership is now. Very short, very succinct, and a picture of Ronald Reagan. And as soon as I saw that billboard on Fairview Avenue, you know, and it was still rural between Boise and Meridian there, you know, Maple Grove was kind of the edge of town. And I saw that billboard, and you talk about a slam dunk. I knew the election was over because the country, you know, under Carter, economic morass, blah, blah, blah. And all it took was a picture of this dude and a succinct phrase. You talk about leadership. It's like, we got to go somewhere, left or right. You know, if you're in the huddle, are we going to run? Are we going to pass? And right now, you know, it's kind of a joke, but it's interesting because Reagan got in there and he said, simply, we need to hike our military spending. We need to actually cut taxes and we need to curb spending. And of course, the Democrats still controlled the purse strings and Tip O'Neill, and kind of like the late great Meatloaf lyrics, two out of three ain't bad. He gave him the military spending. He gave him the tax cuts, but the deficit spending has skyrocketed. And I can remember, it's funny how the first, you know, quasi-political book you'd ever read, and, you know, and for me, that was 40 plus years ago. It's still the same topic on the table today. I remember reading a book called The Case Against the Reckless Congress. I think it was either written by or contributed by a Democrat, but even up to Clinton, they talked about deficit reduction. And then ever since W. Bush, it's all off the table, but they just talked about the, I guess, as I talk to my, and people use this phrase, like my Democratic friends or my liberal friends, I do have plenty of loved ones and friends who are that, but the one common area of agreement, I mean, we have to, I say, just don't, I don't care what you spend it on. You know, we all have our things, you know, well, we need to do this. We need to spend more here, less here. We need to pay reparations. We need to buy more submarines, you know, whatever it is. All I ask, don't spend more than you take in. Let the 535 people in Congress hash it out. And until they do, and they never will, somebody needs to come in and just say, we're going to across the board. Oh, you think we need to, we can't cut Medicare, we can't cut Medicaid. Okay, everything gets cut 10%. If that doesn't solve it, everything gets cut 15%. But everybody just kicks the can right down the road. And I think that's what's keeping our country back. What say you?
Yeah, I think that I wish that they could come to some conclusions. And if they actually were to say, yes, we have to have a balanced budget, I think that'd be a fair start, because it then requires, by rule of law, that they have to come up with some decisions. And it's and you're right. You can set something into place that says, if you can't do it, that's fine. Then every department gets a 5% cut. I mean, whatever it is, right, that allows that to happen. But it's not that difficult. It just isn't. If people would quit thinking it's okay to spend our kids and grandkids' inheritance.
Exactly.
It isn't okay.
It's immoral. It's immoral.
And it's a moral decision, in my opinion. We have to have
totally.
This phrase not as we're going to blow up, or we can only have so much debt to GDP, and all these fun things that nobody understands and nobody can define, because there isn't an end point. Japan has been in a basket case of an end point for 30 years. And they don't blow up. So what does that mean? Does that mean we can just keep spending? And then we call it investment. It's spending. It's spending money that now the future generations can't spend. They either have to tax it or they have to cut it, because at some point we have to pay for it. And we don't even think that this is a moral discussion. It's like, these are our kids and our grandkids. This is our country. This is what allowed us to win the lottery of life, being born in America in the greatest time in history, and now we're going to just screw it up and be selfish about it? How selfish are we? How unrealistic is this? And that frustrates me. So I do think it's a moral discussion. I agree with you. I wish we would put some parameters. And you know what? Since they can't, since they won't, a balanced budget amendment sounds like a great idea, because it forces it. So
yeah, and dating myself, I talk to a lot of people and I say, does the name Ben Nighthorse Campbell mean anything to you? And, you know, about 90 out of 100, no, means nothing to me. Well, Ben Nighthorse Campbell, aside from being the first Native American U.S. senator, Colorado elected him about the same time, but him and about six other sitting members of Congress, when the Democratic Party said, no, we don't need a balanced amendment, balanced budget amendment, we're going to work against it. You had seven sitting congressmen, senators, and House reps led by him. They switched parties. You know, you can be for or against this. You can be for or against that. But we have to agree that we can't spend our grandkids used to be spending our children's money. Now it's our great grandchildren's money. And right. they're obviously not teaching that, but nothing's changed. And nothing's changed from Ben Nighthorse Campbell days, you know, to the days of Elizabeth Warren. And people are popularly elected, like, you know, by a bunch of flamingos or ostriches with their head in the sand. Crazy, Dave. Thanks for the show, man. I love listening.
Thank you. Thanks for your call. Have a good day now. Thank you. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Okay. This is a finance show. So why is this important? Because it's our feelings about our investments. If we think we're going to fall off of the fiscal cliff, if we think we're going to continue to spend so we have inflation, all of these things affect our thought process. Sure, it's interesting to dialogue on politics and what's crazy and upside down in this world. But it really affects the markets. Why? Because people can't just seem to own the great corporations of the world. We can't. We figure out every possible reason why. It isn't going to work this time. It really won't come back this time. We do it over and over again. We really do. It's a I don't know why we continue to ignore all of history and why we are think we're so smart and got it all figured out. When you've got companies like Apple and others that just dominate and propel portfolios, propel the markets forward. In spite of all the dogs out there. Pretty interesting. It really is. And it is psychological. It's all about our behavior. It is not about analyzing. Unless that analysis is you. Behave well and you invest well. You become rich doing nothing at all. You don't have to invent and create anything. It's that easy. Weird, but it is. All right, we got to take a quick break for Fox News. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, that's our number. 580-KIDO. You know, I had this question this week, and it was one of I've had it multiple times. You know, people are worried about what's going on with banks and so on. And it's interesting with custodians because most all custodians have a banking operation of some kind, even if it's incidental, like Schwab. Okay, so Schwab has a bank, and it's not like a regular bank. You can't go down to Schwab at the corner of, you know, Overland and Orchard and open an account. It's not that same kind of bank. But there's a concern about banks and what's going on because people are confused about the financial system. And I just want, and of course they are, it's complex. But here's the important point of that. Custodians are custodians. They hold the assets for all of us. And the amount of insurance is unlimited because they buy additional insurance. It's not exactly hard work. I mean, it's hard to become like the biggest, like, you know, custodian in the world. Of course, they outdid everybody else. But what they do is they hold the assets. That's all. They can't take the money and go do something else with it. So you have a cash in the account, it's cash. You have a money market, it's a money market. You own Apple shares, it's Apple shares. And they just hold those. They can't take the value of Apple and go do something with it. banks take your cash deposit, and yes, they do loan it out. They do take it and go do stupid things sometimes with it. That's all true. But remember this, when you're kind of worried about that kind of stuff, right? And again, I understand it is confusing. But custodians, even if they have a bank that goes under, which I don't even know how that's possible, but let's pretend it is. The bank goes away, has nothing to do with your account. Nothing. Well, but I've got like, you know, millions of dollars sitting in a brokerage account. Fine. Doesn't matter. Has nothing to do with, quote, the banking crisis. Excuse me. We have so much to worry about, so much to think about, so much to try to digest in this world that is just upside down, backwards, and weird. You know, it's just so hard right now. This is one thing you just check off the list. You don't have to worry about it. Custodians are custodians. They just hold the assets. That's it. That's all. They hold the assets. Don't add that to the list of worries. If you're worried because you have more than $250,000 at your bank, well, you shouldn't have to have more than $250,000 at your bank anyway, because they're not paying as much as you can get in a stupid money market. But that's another point. You can go ahead and worry about that if that's what you want to do. I'm not going to worry about a big banking crisis, a big meltdown in the bank, but it has nothing to do with custodians. That, I think, is an important point. And I, frankly, I apologize for not mentioning that a couple weeks ago when we were in the middle of the crisis. Because people do worry. We all do. We all worry about things we don't understand. Banking crisis does not affect the markets except to make it upset about banks or the whole system or whatever it is. But it has nothing to do with you losing your money because custodians only hold the assets. And what is a custodian? It's Schwab. It's TD Ameritrade. It's E-Trade. It's Merrill Lynch. Now, there are, of course, differences in all of them. Some are investment banks and things like that, but that's not the point. The point is, relax. Your money's not going anywhere. Custodians can't commingle anything. Anything. You don't have to worry about that mutual fund company or anything else going out of business at all. You just don't have to worry about it. Okay. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Honestly, I say this in totally sincere. This is one of the things I love about live radio, live TV. Things happen, and you just kind of roll with it, you know, and it's okay. It makes it fun. Yeah, I mean, we try to do our best, and technology sometimes, you know, gets in the way, fat finger things, whatever you want to call it, and things happen. So apologize for the quick break, but this gives us the opportunity to go all the way to the top of the hour and take your calls at 580-5436-580-KIDO. And before we get right to the phones, and we will get right to it here, I want to mention this real quick. And I'm going to mention it again. This business, I love small business. I love people who pour their heart into everything. And once in a while, you just run into a circumstance where things don't go 100% right. But when people make it right, when small businessmen turn around and make it right, and more than make it right, it's I just love it. I just love the way people do that, and they do. And I'm just going to mention this company. They're not a sponsor. They're not paying me to do this. But Concrete Craft came out and did our deck, and it just wasn't quite perfect. So they insisted on coming back and redoing it perfectly. And I did at tremendous expense to them. I just think that's fantastic. And I just wanted to say that because that's exactly what they did. And I just find that incredible. And I find that so true of small business, which is the driver out there. Love small business. And when they get it right and they do it right and go over the top, I just wanted to say that. So Concrete Craft, if you are, it's one of those things that redoes your deck. It redoes your cement. And that's what they do. So anyway, thank you so much, Bill, for that. And I appreciate it. I'm going to talk about them again down the road. Right now, let's go to the phones. It's 580-5436-580-KIDO. Julie from Twin Falls, thanks for tuning in and thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Dave. Hey,
what's on your mind?
First of all, I really want to thank you for just being so calm and practical about finances, because I don't like to worry about mine. And when I listen to you about, you know, the fact that history, why we're not smarter than the history that's behind it. So let's stop worrying. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks.
So my question is, I don't know much about the reverse mortgage, but one of my colleagues was telling me that sometimes when you're nearing retirement and you want to buy a vacation home somewhere, that you could use this reverse mortgage. It almost seemed too good to be true when she educated me a little bit about it, but I wanted your take on it.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I'm not sure you can even get a reverse mortgage on a vacation home. I believe it has to be a primary residence. Not that you can't kind of trick them into it being your primary residence. But they are very expensive, and I think you're quite right. It sounds too good to be true. It probably is one of those things. The expenses on a reverse mortgage are extremely high because there is a lot of risk to the companies. Think 2008. Think about people that took out loans on homes that went down 50% in value, and they're left holding the bag, or paying out income on a regular basis, however it's structured for that reverse mortgage. The expenses are very high, and you have to also pay for insurance on top of that. So once again, I think you have to be very, very careful with it. And the way I phrase it for reverse mortgages is it's the last resort. It is absolutely the last thing you do. I have no other assets. I can't live on my Social Security. I didn't save enough for retirement, and here is where I am, and the only asset I have left is my home, and I'm capable of living in it. What do I do? And that's when a reverse mortgage can come into play, but it is very expensive and is absolutely a last resort.
Oh, that's good to know. I think I was talking to the salesperson about it, and they thought it was a good idea, but I didn't know the expense was so high.
Yeah. It's somewhere around 10 to 15%. It comes off the top, and I don't mean you can't borrow. It's not like a home mortgage where you can get 80% of your loan out anyway. It's more like 50%, but the expense is on the entire amount of the property. So costs can vary, but it is very, very expensive, and I don't blame companies. It is a high-risk venture, and there's no question about it, because you're in that home no matter how long you live, right? They can't kick you out until you're gone.
Wow.
Julie.
Well, thanks.
Thank you. Thanks so much, and have a great rest of the day. Thank you for calling. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDGO. Let's go to Terry. Terry, are you there?
Yes, sir, Professor.
What's on your mind, Terry?
Well, I'm just thinking what a wonderful, marvelous time it is to acquire investment assets.
Yeah, right. It is, isn't it? Actually, yes. In a time of fear, it usually is. Yes.
Yeah, the old adage, fortune favors the brave. Just go ahead and suck it up and put a little bit in. Well, or me, I'd take my coffee money if I could do without the caffeine. But anyway, going back to what you were talking about with young Mr. Miller, and you had a talking about school administrators, how many more of them there were. And that's just their career path. That's how ambitious teachers have a place to go. In the military, we call it grade inflation. You know, so if they don't have more administrators, they don't have any place for that ambitious teacher that gets her master's or maybe her doctorate, and she sits there and teaches, might be a wonderful teacher, but they can't raise her pay past being a teacher.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. True. No, it's and the way the pension system is structured, it's your highest 3 years. And so if somebody just goes into administration for, three to five years, whatever, at the end of their career, they get paid as if they were, working all year round as a quotes principal. And they don't work year round, but they work a lot more hours. That's for sure. Than teachers.
Right. Right.
And, but at any rate, that's how the pay is structured. So you're right. It does do some of that. Yep.
Okay. And if we've got a second here, can you give me the slow person's version of what your video is going to be on the 17th about the debt ceiling and bond selling and whatnot?
Yeah. Of course, the debt ceiling is what's on everybody's mind, and we'll talk about that. But also, I think that the thing that we're really driving at right now is just not to overreact, and it's going to be a back to basics type of thing. So what I'm getting at is what I've gotten to most every day for the last 40 years that I've talked with clients, and that is, here's the data, things work, don't worry. We will continue to have markets that go to all-time highs. This is not the end. And also to talk about with the debt ceiling, what seems to be the probability of things are going to work out. They're not going to let it default. There is actually a bill that has passed the Congress to raise the debt ceiling. Now they're negotiating about a final bill. One in which the Senate can do. So I guess my short version is relax. This is a process, and we continue to do it as a nation periodically, and sometimes it gets noisy. But that's in a nutshell, if you will. And the rest is going to be just fun stuff in between, Terry, so you're going to have to tune in.
Yeah, I just want them to pass a bill that says if I don't balance my checkbook, they send people with guns to my house. I want the same thing to happen to the Congress.
You know, I wish they would, Terry. It's not going to happen. And I swear, I remember Senator Craig talking about this on our program years and years ago. And goodness gracious, he always supported a balanced budget amendment and never got passed. And they've talked about it for my adult life, and it just won't pass. It won't pass because the folks won't put handcuffs on themselves.
Yeah,
they just won't do it.
Dr. Simpson still owes me a refund for the $250,000 they spent on the Wilson Theater in BYU North or wherever it is over there. When they did the earmarks, when they said we're going to do no more earmarks. So I know how disingenuous they are. I just like to complain about it once in a while.
I understand. I understand. I do. Terry, thank you for the call.
Good day, sir.
Have a good rest of the day. Thank you. Hey, we're wrapping up now. This is a scary time, and we lack leadership, and I get all of that. One of the things that you just have to know and you have to see is what I started today's program with. Things are working. I don't know how. In the midst of a debt ceiling meltdown, in the midst of lack of leadership and all these things, we're still here and functioning. This is a great nation and a big economy, and idiots can't even take it down. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for tuning in.